The first one isn't really positive, but it's my motto. It's so simple yet so complicated. Some that might be simple for you, complicated for us, or et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But this, the other quote is, I'm not crazy. I'm just problem solving.
What I always say is, and I tell my students this, and especially males and females, but I really tell my girls, you know, because, you know, an eighth grader has, a lot of times an eighth grade girl will have lots of issues with self-identity and body image issues. So, but I say this to everybody, you need to do you. Nobody else can do you. And so you need to be you no matter what. And that's what I always tell Sam. You know, he's like, but what if I go into a crowd of people or a group of people and I say the wrong thing? Oh, who cares? Like, how often have I said the wrong thing?
A lot of times in my life.
Like, you know, we always preach that there's no normal. Nobody gets to choose who normal is. Nobody gets to do that. That's not fair. And so we don't really know what that is. But my advice always is be you, be weird, and don't care, because that's my philosophy. And that's what I've taught him.
Do you need encouragement to turn tragedies into your own triumphant life story? If so, this podcast is for you. Listen to powerful guests who have persevered through challenges so you can gain strength to build your championship life. The host of Professor of Perseverance Podcast, Dr. James Perdue.
And it's that time again for the Professor of Perseverance Podcast, where we're here to fire you up. We're here to give you some education. We're here to give you some inspiration, let you know that we're all going to struggle, but let's get through these struggles as best as possible. We're going to have obstacles, and we're going to have adversity and challenges, and let's do the best we can to burn through them and live a good life. Today's topic, we're talking with Sam and Gina on the topic of, oh, let me get them on here, on the topic of, there we go, autism. Sam is a teenager living with autism. Hey, there you go. Sam is a teenager living with autism. And he has his own podcast, everyone. So go to check out his podcast, and it's called Autism Rocks and Rose. Although Sam has obstacles in the past and still has daily struggles, he is using his platform to take away the stigma of autism and other conditions that may think people are disabled. He often brings guests into his conversation, whether it be family members, friends, celebrities, or others involved in the world of autism. He wants to prove that he is not broken, and so that means he doesn't need to be fixed. Sam has a lot of fun and entertainment with his audience. Again, listen to his podcast, Autism Rocks and Road. All right, again, Sam, Gina, thank y'all for being on today.
Thank you for having us.
Yes,
We're really excited. Thank you.
Nancy, thank you for coming in. Appreciate that, Nancy. Well, let's start with Gina. When you were giving birth or carrying Sam, when did you hear that the word autism was coming about? Was that later after being born?
Yeah, so that was quite a bit later, actually. My pregnancy was very normal. I had lots of sickness, which is pretty common. But I had a really bad until like 4 or 5 months, like vomiting every day, all day for like 4 or 5 months. But then after that, things calmed down, and then everything was normal. I did have an emergency C-section, which, you know, probably doesn't have anything to do with him being autistic. The one thing that we started to notice as he got older, and I mean like, you know, like 4 or 5 months old, the first thing that we noticed is he was not talking. When he became talking age, speech was, you know, really, really late. And even before that, he was not hitting his milestones. He was not crawling. He was not rolling over. He was like aware and actually very aware, but we just noticed, and he did them. He just did them very late. And then didn't, you know, talk on time. I think when he was 2, he knew like 10 words. And, you know, the pediatrician was like, well, he really should be saying more than that. So we went through speech therapy. And then we did start to notice behaviors. I'm a teacher. I teach eighth grade. So I had had over the years, I had had students with autism in my class. So I wasn't an expert by any means. I mean, I'm still not an expert. But I knew some of the behaviors just from my students. And so when Sam started really having meltdowns, you know, if his routine started to change, if his routine changed, he did not like that at all. As he got older, he lined things up. He was very, he wanted things in a certain order. He had a fantastic memory. I can remember he still can like remember everything.
Trivial information.
He remembers like very trivial information. And then he hated loud noises. And so I guess it was, and then when he was four, he was in classroom from a behavioral psychologist. And then that's when she told us he had autism. It wasn't a surprise. I mean, I knew what it was, but it still was. I always tell people selfishly it was for a very short period of time. I was upset and I was kind of mad because I thought, what in the world did I do wrong? You know, I took care of myself during my pregnancy. I did everything right. And now they're telling me that he could potentially have a disability. And I mourned for just a few days. I can remember, you know, thinking I didn't agree to this. I did not sign a paper that said I would raise a child with autism, but I quickly got over that. And once we educated ourselves and now he's become, you know, perfect in my eyes. So
thank you.
Talking about, you know, want everything laid out specifically and perfectly like he wants. It kind of reminds me of that old show, Rain Man, with Dustin Hoffman and Tom Cruise.
What show?
Yeah, so it's a movie, Rain Man. And Rain Man, I can't remember what his name was, but he actually Dustin was considered Hoffman. A savant. He was, yeah, Dustin Hoffman. He was so, and most people with autism, I think that's part of the reason Sam does his podcast is because the big misconception, I feel like, and kind of the stigma that's attached to autism is people that have autism aren't smart. And that is completely opposite.
Yeah, that is, whoever said that is wrong.
Yeah. I mean, but I think a lot of people think, oh, they have autism, they're disabled. You know, dis means not. Dis means can't. And I don't want that. I don't want him to be like, I don't want him to think that I have a disability. Does he have challenges? Absolutely. But I do too. We're all disabled. I mean, we all have a disability in that we can't, you know, do everything perfectly. So I don't feel like he's any different. He just has his own struggles like we all do. So that's kind of how we've raised him is, hey, you have autism, but you also are this and this and this and this and this. And so I've always encouraged him not to let it define him unless he wants to.
It partially does.
If he wants to, you know, put it first, then that's okay.
It's not first, but it partially does.
That's okay. That's it. That's
like first and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I can see that, Sam, that it's still in there because it's part of you, but you don't have to let it be your limiting part just because other people don't understand or whatnot from it. Nancy, she's got a question here. She says, what is autism anyway? So she gets confused with it. She's got friends who have autism, but she just, how would you explain that just to the layman's terms without all them big doctor medical stuff?
I have to use one little medical term here. So it's a neurobiological disorder that where we struggle with social cues, they have socializing is hard and just sort of social aspects that are really difficult for us. Is what it really
and there's
is.
Many.
Yeah. Well, and it's all brain wiring.
Yeah, and there's many forms of it.
I was just going to say, it's all very neurological. I mean, yeah, there's a spectrum. And so there is, you know, like several years ago, the spectrum was pretty small. So anybody that had severe autism, that's the only people that were on the spectrum. So you had people like Sam, who now, you know, has Asperger's. And it's, you know, he wouldn't have fit on that spectrum 20, 30 years ago. And so Sam would have probably in his school or in society would have just been termed quirky or weird or odd or
dorky
or something negative like that, I guess. And so
idiotic, maybe.
I don't know, because maybe, but the spectrum was stretched so that, because they started to realize people that had autism were much higher functioning than this little, you know, than the small group down here. And then a few years ago, they actually took autism or Asperger's off of the autism spectrum and put it underneath it in an umbrella of PDD, pervasive disorders, underneath, because they realized it is autism. They have the behaviors of autism, but it's just so high functioning, and people with Asperger's are typically, you know, very successful with help. So it's just how his brain is wired. And like he said, he has a hard time socializing sometimes, like entering and exiting a conversation that might be hard for him. He likes order. He likes structure.
Routine.
So that's just kind of goes along with it.
Now I'm going to shamelessly plug my little children's book that my boy Ricardo, my service dog, and one day we were at the store and a woman come up to me and says, "Can my son pet your dog?" Hey, like that. Shamelessly plugging. Can my son pet your dog? And then I got my service dog, Ricardo, to get up in my lap so the son could pet the dog from the buggy. And all of a sudden, the boy points at my dog, Ricardo, and says, "Dog," like that. I said, yeah, that's right. He's a dog. And then I looked over and mother was crying. And I told her, I said, "Hey, I'm sorry. I don't know what my dog did, but I don't know." And then she said, no, that's not it. You don't understand. He's autistic. And that's the very first word I heard him say. And so we made a little children's book out of
that's
that.
Awesome.
Talking about autism. So can my son pet you? Let me go. There we go. Can my son pet your dog? And so a little children's book about my service dog, Ricardo. Oh, no, helping me knock my camera down.
That's great. That is awesome. That is so fantastic. Because I remember when Sam, you know, he didn't talk. And finally, when he did, like, he's not stopped since. But when he finally did start talking, I remember being emotional, like, oh, my God, he's like saying mom. And he's saying, so, yeah.
I said dad first, though.
Yeah. Most kids say dad first. But
sorry.
What I said in my book, the last page, I've done five or six of these books on different disabilities and whatnot. And the last page is just dedicated on trying to explain what the disability I'm talking about, this one, autism. And I mentioned one thing is, you know, it shows you that these children are getting the information. They're just having a hard time getting it back out. I said, she knew that Ricardo was a dog. The boy knew that Ricardo was a dog. He didn't call him a cat. He didn't call him a door. He didn't call him a toilet. he knew he was a dog. He's been around what a dog is. And so it shows that they get it in, but somewhere in that cross wiring, they have a hard time getting it out. And then they get frustrated, get emotional.
Absolutely. To this day, you know, Sam has always had an IEP throughout school. And luckily, I mean, I teach, so I've always known, like, legally what the teachers have to do. And we, at his school, he's had fantastic teachers, but there's been a couple times where I knew, like, the IEP was not being followed. So I had to kind of get involved. But still to this day, Sam has, you know, if you give him a piece of paper and a pencil and you say, write three paragraphs, there's something with the written word that the connection is going to be.
How much? How long you want? You want 160 words? You want it?
Well, I just mean if it's too long, there'll be like the connection from here to the paper will just be tough. There's kind of like a disconnect. But if you give him a computer and he can do his work on the computer, which we, at a very young age, I made them write that into his IEP that he could use technology in the computer. He's a straight A student. So there is that. there is that disconnect sometime. But you got to find what works. You got to find what works for the student.
Sam, let's take a minute. Let's promote your radio, your podcast, Autism Rocks and Rose. How many episodes you got, and how many? Well, name some of the people that's been on your show.
Yeah, sure. So I have 30. Won't be out on the 25th. I've had family. I haven't had a friendship. I'm going to hopefully get that. Some celebrities I have had are Armani Williams, who was the first openly autistic NASCAR driver. Simon Majumdar, who's on Guy's Grocery Games and Cutthroat Kitchen, and he plays for autistic charities. Yep, Temple Grandin, who's probably like the biggest autism advocate in the world. She's a doctor and has like transformed the cattle world. James Durbin, who's the fourth runner-up on American Idol, the 2011 season. And Mandy Harvey, who was the America's Got Talent fourth runner-up in 2017 season. And Peter Lance, who's the video game developer who has autism.
Awesome. Man, you've been busy. That's good. So keep this podcast going, Sam. Hey, now, were you an athlete?
No
sweating.
No, I will say he's never been on competitive sports because he's never been a competitive person.
I did Taekwondo.
But he is a black belt, almost a second degree black belt in Taekwondo.
Oh, awesome.
He did that for 5 years.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. The purpose to bring that up in today's paper, my hometown paper, couldn't believe it. I was going, wow. Got this story today on my podcast in today's paper. See if we can put it up here, and then I'll turn around and read it. It says, alternative baseball brings America's game to Sumner County autism community. And actually, I'm in Tennessee, they said there's two cities that are already doing this autism baseball. And it's actually going to be, when it says Sumner County I live in, it's actually going to be in my city, that they're going to be putting another team together with autism for them to play. So I thought that was pretty cool for that.
That is very cool.
That is.
That's always good when, you know, because, I mean, a lot of times people that have conditions or feel challenged with things, you know, they don't want to join things like that because of nerves, or they feel like they feel like they won't fit in. So that's awesome that they're doing that.
And in the more competitive competitive sportings, they may not be able to fit in. But when you're playing with people of your own, hate to say, standards or whatnot, it could be more relaxing, more comforting to know that if I goof up, they're allowed to do the same thing. And that would be, to me, it's a long time in coming. For all disabilities to be able to be represented in some way, form, or fashion, to let these people be able to, children to be able to play sports with other children.
Yeah, absolutely. Sam does very well. You know, Sam has always been in a general education classroom. I can remember when he was pretty young, they, you know, talked about putting him in a resource room, that was not going to happen. I mean, he was going to be in a general education classroom. He's always been in the inclusion classrooms, which does have a teacher's aid, or he has a float pass that allows him to go to the resource room. So
after the lesson's over.
Yeah. So we've really, who's K.A. Russell? Is that your friend?
Oh, Nancy. Yeah. She's been on my show before. She's albino, has albinism, and a cancer survivor. And so, yeah, Nancy, she wants to get your website and come visit and say hi to you, Sam.
Well, tell him your website, because his website has everything on it.
Sure. It's www.autismrocksandrolls.com.
And it's autism rocks and rolls.
No space.
Yeah, there's S's, though, at the end of rocks and rolls.
Yeah, don't put the rock and roll. I'm not.
Yeah, that won't come up, right?
Reason being, though, for rocks and rolls is because I like rock music, so that's where the idea came from.
There you go. And I'll put that link in the description as well to make it easier for people to find and everything. All right, now, Sam, let's talk a little bit here. When you were finally realizing the talking, because I'm sure you had a lot of therapy and stuff going on at the beginning, and then how frustrated were you emotional, I guess, maybe, that you want to get the information out, but you can't. And I don't know, that may not have been you as much as the, like the kid in the book.
I think what he's asking you is, as at a young age, or maybe even as you grew up, what were your frustrations?
Oh, okay. Sure. I was excluded a lot. It took 16 years for me to like finally get out there and make friends, like not the typical way, but the right way, I guess is the way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
I did like my routine change. I still don't to this day, but it's not like severe. That's like, man, whatever, but literally it was awful. If like there was a toy at Walmart, it better be there. Or I was like, or I had like this major fit in Walmart and leaned, and I had tantrums. So.
And so you have outgrown those tantrums, or did a mom still have to give you the what for?
He's outgrown them.
Yeah.
Good deal. There you go. We usually outgrow things as we get older, usually. So
Yeah,
I don't have, I don't have external, I have internal.
Yeah, he gets frustrated. He does get frustrated, but he handles it very well. You know, Sam is college bound. He's 18. He'll graduate this year from high school. And, you know, he's going to go to the local college here for the first year and live at home. We've set him up an apartment in the basement. We're actually getting ready to finish his kitchen. And so once we finish the kitchen, he can live independently down here with help, you know, from us. And then his sophomore year, he wants to move. He wants to move down to Vincennes, Indiana, and go to the university down there. So we've got lots of, you know, we've been on the phone with VR, with Vocational Rehab Services, and like BDDS, the Bureau of Developmental Disability Services, are going to provide help for him. So we're really reaching out and finding all of the help we can get so he can be successful and live independently. So we're breaking into all of that.
VR has gotten better over the years than when I used them when I went to school and had things I needed done. It seemed like I had to stay on them some. I mean, they were great overall. There's a couple of times, but I think they've gotten better again because the knowledge and change of all these years and people are getting more accepted to it. And realizing that everybody just autism or any disability, they're still people. They just have a different way of having to do things. Like yeah, you said a while ago.
And I feel like with me, my struggles have changed as I got older. Like, for example, I have no filter. Like right now, if her breath stunk, I tell her straight to her face. It's a bad example, but it's true.
And he and I have conversations about this, and maybe we don't always agree, but, you know, Sam is really quick to say and kind of, you know, like, oh, I don't have any filter. That's a great thing. It's not a great thing. And
I don't agree. I think it's great. Sometimes I don't think it's good sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you can look at it both ways, but, you know, as Sam gets older, when he becomes an adult, you know, like if a 10 or 11 year old says something and there's no filter, you're just like, oh, they're 10 or 11. That's kind of cute. When you're 18, 19, 20 years old, you say something to the wrong person.
You're going to get a lip.
You're going to get in trouble, like with and that person.
You probably have a bad lip.
Or just even with authorities. I mean, you can't do that. So, you know, he does. He does have a problem with having a filter, but he's better. But, you know, you got to get it under control before you definitely live by yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And hanging around with strangers as well. So, because you don't know their temperament from there. Yeah. So it's nice to keep that filter in some areas. Yeah.
It's hard though, because I feel like, and this is another me being filter, but I think Americans are babies these days. I'll be dead off.
No, that's another topic there. I believe.
Mean like, I feel like they need some tough love sometimes.
In the society we live in. Yeah.
The tough love. I'd rather someone be point blank. Tell me how ugly I am. They don't like what I'm wearing. I'd rather than going, well, you know, James, you know, I may have done. No. Point blank. Tell me. There's too many people out there, what they call snowflakes out there that they got their emotions on their sleeves for no reason. Yeah. They're very critical. I agree. There's too many. Yeah, the tough love needs to happen more But what do I know? I don't have any children.
No, you're right. You're right. You know, it's funny we say that because with Sam, I have never babied him. I have always given him the support that he needs to be successful.
But you have expectations.
Yeah, we've always encouraged him, but I still have expectations for him, autism or not. You know, my expectation for him, number one, is to be a respectful young man at all times. You do not be disrespectful. Like that's what we have. That is a huge rule in our house. No disrespect. And then as far as him having to, you know, perform and do things, I mean, an employer is not going to stop and say, oh, wait a minute, you have autism. Okay, you don't have to do that. That's not going to happen. They'll find somebody else that can do it. So we've always just said to him, I'm sorry, but you're capable, so you still have to do it. And I think that push has, you know, he's done most of it himself, but that push has gotten him to where he is today, you know, not expecting anybody to baby him.
Tough love.
Mm-hmm. Yep, tough love.
No, that's good that you expect, and usually when you expect more out of the kids, they will reach up to that potential than if you expect less of them. And then they would definitely go for that one as well. But that may not where you want them to be 10 years from now, 20 years from now, when you want them to be up and higher in standard in society.
And I personally, like, it sounds weird. Like when they say, oh, they're being rude, like with celebrities, oh, they're being rude. I'm like, no, they're telling the truth. Like Simon Jumdar, he's honest with you. He has expectations. He's going to eat it. He's going to eat it. It's going to be good. And then Simon Cowell, you've probably seen him. I mean, he's honest with you. He'll tell you if you suck.
That's right. That's right. I would like to reach out to him. I don't know how to do it yet, but I'd like to reach out to him because, you know, that past summer he had that bicycle accident and broke his back. But fortunately, he's not paralyzed. And so I'm in a wheelchair because I'm paralyzed. I got my neck broke playing football. And so, so since he's had a spinal injury, I would love to reach out to him, but I don't know how yet, but I'm going to find a way to at least reach out. Whether he answers back or not, it's a different story.
Yeah, we've reached out to so many people all you can do is try.
I mean, I tried to convince her, took a while because she thought, no, I thought, just give it a shot. What's the worst that's going to happen?
Well, Simon was our first big guest.
Majumdar.
Simon Majumdar. And we consider him to be a friend because I text him and he talks to Sam sometimes. And but he was our first one. And then when we got to Dr. Temple Grandin, I was
floored. Oh, she was dry.
Oh, I could not. Well, she was so blunt, but so knowledgeable and just such an inspiration. I mean, she is unbelievable.
And I want on my show sometime in the future, you know about this one, Gordon Ramsay. I don't know if you've seen him like rip the contestants like on Kitchen Nightmares at Hell's Kitchen, but I love it personally when he like goes berserk. I know it's like, no, I shouldn't say it, but it's true. I can't help it. I love it personally because he's just so honest with it. I'm like, go, Gordon.
Has to get the drama going. The drama. Yeah. Get the drama going. Now, Sam, you said you got 30 episodes under your belt. And we're looking for the next 130 for you. When did you start your podcast? Two questions. When do you start your podcast? And do you feel that it's helping you reach a certain potential that maybe you wasn't aware of?
Yeah, I started in October 2019. And my initial goal was just to be like, all right, get a few hits. Great. Great. Just to be a hobby. Great. No, this has hit bigger than I expected, to be honest with you.
Yeah, he has 4,000, almost 4,000 downloads at this point. And we've got some really big guests that we can't say, but we've got some really big guests for the future and some are booked. So
we can spoil the ones that are booked. I always told you that.
Yeah, this we have an MMA fighter coming up very soon with autism.
Oh, wow. MMA. That's cool.
She's a MMA fighter and she's her Serena Southpaw De Jesus. And we're really pumped about her. Really exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. Having those, and I hate to say this, it's the same thing with spinal cord injuries, probably the same thing in most disabilities, but it's great having the celebrities that have been so successful, because other people, then when they hear all that, then they realize Sam's no different than they are. Right. You know, I'm no different than Christopher Reeves when he was Superman, when he got his neck broke. And so it's a sad thing, but it's great to get the sad part of it is to get most of the awareness out. You need the big name people, because they'll reach more than your friend will.
Like their platforms. Well, I think Sam's mission, you know, he's always told me, is to take the stigma off of autism. And when you have these people on here that have had challenges but are so successful, that just hits at home. That let's quit doing this, because Armani, you know, he drives a NASCAR. And he said, the reason that I'm so successful with driving a NASCAR is because I have autism. For him, it's an ability, because when he's driving in that car, he is 100% hyper-focused on what he's doing. And if he didn't have autism,
he wouldn't do it.
You know, he couldn't do that. If Sam didn't have autism, he wouldn't have felt the need to start this podcast that is helping thousands of people.
Yeah, and they're trying to cure it with a drug. I've refused to take it.
Yeah, he said he's been reading about people trying to cure autism, and I'm like, what are we trying to cure here?
if there's a drug for it, I'm taking it. No. It's a no-no.
Yeah, they've asked questions like that to me. When I was younger, would I go do experimental treatments and see if I can walk again? Well, now I've been in the wheelchair nearly 38 years. I would do experiments on other things, such how to go to the bathroom without having to do everything else. That's more important than walking, because I can push my wheelchair efficiently enough than dragging my feet trying to walk and be out of breath going 10 feet. So I would get into different areas in this.
Right.
All right. And then, Gina, what you said earlier, what did you say earlier? Because I agreed with you and I was going to bring it up. And I forgot about it already. It was right at the very beginning we started talking. And let me think for a second. I have no idea.
That's okay.
I have no idea.
So, don't worry. He forgets all the time, too.
Yeah, I don't have Alzheimer's, but I got some timers. So.
That's a good one.
But you're
dad. I think you got most timers.
All right, well, we're going to wrap this up. I appreciate y'all being here. If y'all can do two things, one per person. If Sam can lead it off and then Gina second, if you can just give us a positive statement, something that's going to help the next person struggling to get them through today. I mean, that's the main thing about the people. When we're struggling, when we're challenges, we just got to get through today and we'll worry about tomorrow when it gets here.
I write my quotes down, so for every episode.
So while he's finding that, if it's okay with you, go ahead and do it. Okay. What I always say is, and I tell my students this.
Here we go.
You got one. And well, let me finish.
Okay.
And especially males and females, but I really tell my girls, you know, because, you know, an eighth grader has, a lot of times an eighth grade girl will have lots of issues with self-identity and body image issues. But I say this to everybody, you need to do you. Nobody else can do you. And so you need to be you no matter what. And that's what I always tell Sam. You know, he's like, but what if I go into a crowd of people or a group of people and I say the wrong thing? Oh, who cares? Like, how often have I said the wrong thing?
A lot of times in my life.
Like, you know, we always preach that there's no normal. Nobody gets to choose who normal is. Nobody gets to do that. That's not fair. And so we don't really know what that is. But my advice always is be you, be weird, and don't care. Because that's my philosophy. And that's what I've taught him.
All right. Awesome. Sam, you got yours?
Yeah, I've looked at that. It said, I just saw Jesus takes.
Nancy, she says, what is here?
Yeah.
For me, her filter is Jesus. That's her filter.
That's good.
Yeah.
Nancy's a good one. Yeah. Nancy's a good one to have here.
Nancy seems like a really good one. So maybe we'll have to get her email or something so Sam can connect with her. She seems like a wonderful person.
The first one isn't really positive, but it's my motto. It's so simple yet so complicated. So some that might be simple for you. complicated for us, or et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But this, the other quote is, I'm not crazy. I'm just problem solving.
All right. That's awesome.
Yeah. I love that one. I'm not crazy. I'm problem solving, because that's what a lot of people think is, that's weird. What are they doing? Maybe they're just thinking. Maybe they're just trying to work out something in their brain so that they can get to the next step. So I loved that one when he brought that up.
We have a celebrity in the house here. Steel Winter Nation. Now, thank you for the professor is the best. And you're just patting my back too hard. The Steel Winter Nation. First time here. Thank you, buddy, for hopping in. I appreciate that. And I'll be sure to get back to your show again later on. So, all right, everybody. This has been good. I learned some stuff today. Would think that somebody's got inspired from here. And again, they say this internet stuff's going to stay here. Once you're on the internet, it's just there for 100 years or whatever. So maybe somebody will find this later on, and we'll be able to help someone else as time goes on. Again, Sam, Gina, thank you for being here. Oh, you'll go ahead.
Well, I was just going to tell you, so I'll send you a link to Sam's website. You can also find Sam's podcast on all of the major podcasting platforms. So iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, Podbean, Apple Podcasts. It's all Spotify. Yep.
And thank you for allowing us the opportunity, Mr. Professor of Perseverance.
You're welcome. Thank you. And I'll put his podcast show, Sam, your podcast show, in the description as well. And we put the other links in there when mom sends them, and go from there. So
yeah, absolutely. Thank you. We'll put your website. We'll put your podcast on our website as well.
All right. Free promotion.
Yeah, absolutely.
There we go. Thank you. Appreciate that. I can always need to use the help. So, all right. Thank you. And everybody else, thank you for coming in. And for the people coming in on the replay, thank you. Be sure to share and like. Definitely share to someone you know that needs help. Again, they don't have to be an autistic. They don't have to be a caregiver of an autistic child. They don't have to be a spinal cord injury. The message is still the same, providing hope and letting you know there's a better life. So share it with someone you know that's struggling, and go from there. Thank you, everybody. Do something today, tomorrow, something next week that's going to help you persevere past your paralysis.
Thanks for listening to the Professor of Perseverance podcast for motivation, inspiration, and encouragement. For more information, go to Facebook at Professor of Perseverance. Visit the website at professorofperseverance.com and view the YouTube channel, Dr. James Perdue, Professor of Perseverance.